Here's your fair value brief for Tuesday, August 25th, 2026. Good morning. Let's start with the big moves overnight. AI's financial plumbing is cracking. Semiconductor stocks took a hit, with Micron down 5.8%, AMD off 3.5%, and Intel down 3.1%. The issue? NVIDIA's $12 billion vendor financing programs, which offer loans at 7 to 9% interest to cloud providers, are backfiring. Providers can't turn that hardware into revenue fast enough, and now the whole tech sector is feeling the squeeze. Over in oil markets, Brent crude slid 4.8% to $87.74 a barrel after Iran signaled it might be open to talks. But don't let that drop fool you. The Strait of Hormuz is still a bottleneck. Only 5 commodity vessels made it through this weekend, compared to the usual 130 before the conflict. Tanker insurance costs keep climbing, so traders aren't letting their guard down just yet. And in crypto, Bitcoin is holding steady at $79,180, up 23% this month, but Ethereum and Solana slipped overnight. Here's the red flag. Exchange stablecoin reserves have dropped 20%, from $80 billion to $64 billion. That's a liquidity drain, and it suggests the rally's momentum might be fading. Now, to the markets. Tech and energy, two of the biggest themes this year, are showing some serious stress beneath the surface. Semiconductor stocks led the declines as the financial backbone of AI's $250 billion spending boom starts to weaken. NVIDIA's $12 billion vendor financing programs were supposed to help cloud providers bridge the gap between spending and revenue. But now, those loans are turning into a burden. Providers are struggling to generate enough AI service revenue to cover the costs and the interest, so they're slowing down deployments. That's hitting semiconductor earnings hard. Micron's fiscal fourth quarter guidance came in 8% below expectations, and AMD, Intel, and Marvel all dropped more than 3%. Here's the bigger picture. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 4.74%, and that's acting like tech's discount rate. As semiconductor revenue growth stalls, the market is downgrading the sector's long-term outlook. Tech's implied equity risk premium has widened by 30 basis points in just a week. That's like a Fed quarter-point hike, but aimed squarely at technology. Meanwhile, oil markets are caught between diplomacy and physical constraints. Brent crude dropped to $87.74 after Iran hinted at negotiations, but the Strait of Hormuz is still a mess. Only 5 commodity vessels got through this weekend, compared to the pre-conflict average of 130. The U.S. just escalated pressure with Operation Economic Outcast, blacklisting over 60 entities tied to Iran's shipping, gold, and tech sectors. Tanker insurance premiums keep going up, so even with the price dip, geopolitical risks are still baked in. Crypto's rally is looking tired. Bitcoin is holding at $79,180, but Ethereum and Solana pulled back overnight. The real warning sign? Exchange stablecoin reserves plunged 20%, from $80 billion to $64 billion. That's a liquidity drain, and it suggests the spillover that's been boosting risk assets might be drying up. The Treasury's plan to double its long-term bond buyback cap is keeping yields in check, but risk appetite seems to be cooling. Today's economic calendar has a few potential catalysts. Australia's CPI report is due tonight, forecast at 3.3% year-over-year, and that could shift the Aussie dollar and global rate expectations. Here in the U.S., durable goods orders and GDP revisions will test the higher-for-longer narrative. But the main event is Fed Chair Warsh's speech at Jackson Hole on Thursday. Expect him to reaffirm the 2% inflation target and caution that the Fed's work isn't done yet. Bonds are already signaling caution. The 10-year yield dipped 2 basis points this morning to 4.74%, and the 2- to 10-year spread is at 46 basis points. It's flattest since the inversion back in 2023. Now, the big story. AI's capex-to-earnings pipeline is springing a leak. For 18 months, Wall Street has been pouring $250 billion a year into AI, all based on one assumption, that capital spending would translate into semiconductor revenue growth, justifying those sky-high valuations. But now, that assumption is cracking. Semiconductor stocks, Micron, AMD, Intel, Marvel, didn't just dip because of weak demand. The problem is in the financial plumbing that links AI spending to actual earnings. NVIDIA's $12 billion in vendor financing programs were supposed to help cloud providers bridge the gap between buying hardware and making money from it. But those loans, at 7-9% interest, are now becoming a drag. Providers can't generate enough AI service revenue to cover the costs, so they're slowing down deployments. That's hitting semiconductor earnings and the entire sector's growth outlook. Micron's fiscal fourth quarter revenue guidance dropped 8% below expectations, and AMD, Intel, and Marvel are facing similar headwinds. This isn't just a chip sector problem, it's a financial conditions story. The 10-year Treasury yield at 4.74% is now acting as tech's discount rate. As semiconductor revenue growth stalls, the market is repricing the sector's long-term growth potential. Tech's implied equity risk premium has widened 30 basis points in just a week. That's like the Fed hiking rates by a quarter point, but only for tech. The ripple effects are spreading. High-yield credit spreads are widening. The ICE BofA U.S. high-yield option-adjusted spread just rose to 2.7%, up from 2.5% 2 weeks ago. The bond market is pricing in a structural slowdown. The 10-year TIPS break-even, which measures inflation expectations, fell to 2.32%. If it drops below 2.2%, that's a signal that markets are pricing in a lasting hit to tech's growth trajectory. The Fed is now in a tough spot. If financial conditions tighten much more, it might have to cut rates sooner, even with inflation still above target. But if it holds firm, the AI boom could stall, and that might drag the broader economy down with it. NVIDIA's earnings report on Wednesday is the next big test. If they revise guidance downward, it won't just move one stock. It'll signal whether the entire AI investment cycle has hit a wall. Now, the big picture. Stocks and bonds are sending mixed signals right now. Equities are still holding up. The S&P 500 is down just 0.3% for the day, and the Nasdaq's 3.2% monthly gain is intact. But bonds are flashing warnings. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 4.74%. down 2 basis points this morning, and the 2-to-10-year spread is at 46 basis points. It's flattest since the inversion back in 2023. That's not a recession signal yet, but it's pricing in a sharp slowdown. Gold is up 1.2% to $4,696 an ounce, a classic risk-off move. Copper edged up 0.6% to $6.64 per pound, but that's more about supply constraints than demand strength. Global copper mine production actually fell 1.1% in the first half of the year, with steep declines in Chile, Indonesia, and the Democratic Republic of Congo. That's adding to cost pressures for AI data centers, which are already struggling with power constraints. The dollar's strength is adding even more pressure. The DXY index has climbed 2.5% over the past month, and it's now approaching 98.97. That's weighing on multinationals, especially those with heavy exposure to Europe and Asia, where growth is slowing faster than in the U.S. The euro slipped 0.8% today to 1.1673, and the yen weakened to 159.28 per dollar. A stronger dollar tightens global financial conditions, making dollar-denominated debt more expensive to service. Crypto is the wild card here. Bitcoin is holding at $79,180, but momentum is fading. Ethereum and Solana pulled back overnight, and exchange stablecoin reserves dropped 20% from $80 billion to $64 billion. That suggests the liquidity spillover that's been boosting risk assets is drying up. The Treasury's expanded bond buyback program is keeping yields in check, but risk appetite is waning. If crypto reverses course, it could pull down high-beta tech stocks that have been leading the market. Here's the divergence. Stocks are holding steady, but bonds, commodities, and crypto are all flashing warnings. The Fed is boxed in. Fighting inflation with high rates risks over-tightening, but cutting too soon could reignite inflation. Right now, bonds are betting on a slowdown. Stocks? They're not listening yet. Now, let's take a quick trip around the world. Geopolitical risk is still centered on the Middle East, but the effects are global. The U.S. just launched Operation Economic Outcast, blacklisting over 60 entities tied to Iran's shipping, gold, tech, and digital asset sectors. The goal is to cut off Tehran's access to hard currency and force negotiations. But the immediate result is more uncertainty in oil markets. the Strait of Hormuz is still the critical choke point. Only 5 commodity vessels made it through this weekend, compared to the pre-conflict average of 130. Tanker insurance premiums keep rising, and the U.S. Navy's blockade has cut regional oil exports by 2/3. Brent crude fell 4.8% today on diplomatic hopes, but the physical market tells a different story. Qatar, the world's second-largest LNG exporter, is especially vulnerable. 20% of global LNG supply normally flows through the strait. A prolonged blockade could trigger price spikes like we saw after Russia invaded Ukraine. China is watching all of this very closely. As Iran's largest oil customer, buying 1 million barrels a day at a 20% discount, Beijing is facing more difficult purchases under the new sanctions. China's economy is already slowing. July retail sales grew just 2.5%, below expectations, and the property crisis is spreading to local governments. The People's Bank of China cut its one-year loan prime rate by 10 basis points to 3.45% yesterday, but that might not be enough. The real test comes this week with China's August manufacturing PMI. If it comes in below 50, that signals factory contraction and deeper global growth concerns. Europe is under pressure, too. The euro slipped 0.8% to 1.1673, and the region's manufacturing sector is still in recession. Germany's Ifo Business Climate Index fell for the 5th consecutive month in August. The European Central Bank is expected to cut rates again in September, but inflation is still elevated. Core CPI was 2.9% in July, while growth weakens. Bonds are pricing in a 70% chance of a eurozone recession by year-end. The UK has its own challenges. The pound dipped 0.7% to 1.3644, and the Bank of England is under pressure to cut rates. With inflation at 3.5%, Governor Bailey is resisting. The Bowes dilemma mirrors the global problem. Central banks have to choose between fighting inflation and supporting growth. Most are leaning toward growth, which explains the dollar's strength and gold's rally. Investors are betting the Fed will be the last major central bank to cut, and when it does, the reductions will be shallow. Japan is the wild card in all of this. The yen weakened to 159.28 per dollar, and the Bank of Japan is under intense pressure to raise rates. But with a fragile economy, Governor Ueda is moving cautiously. A BOJ hike could trigger a global bond sell-off as Japanese investors bring money back home. That's a risk the Fed can't ignore. All eyes will be on Jackson Hole later this week for any shift in the Fed stance. Don't expect a dovish pivot, though. Chair Warsh will likely reaffirm the 2% inflation target and stress that the Fed's work is far from finished. Now let's talk companies. NVIDIA's financing bet is backfiring. The stock fell 2.9% as its $12 billion off-balance sheet vendor financing programs, offering 7-9% interest loans to cloud providers, look increasingly risky. Providers are struggling to monetize the hardware fast enough, creating a negative feedback loop. Slower deployments mean less semiconductor revenue, which tightens financial conditions across tech. Micron dropped 5.8% after cutting its fiscal fourth quarter revenue guidance by 8%. AMD, Intel, and Marvel all followed suit, with declines of 3-3.3%. In crypto, Bitcoin is holding at $79,180, but the liquidity picture is worsening. Ethereum and Solana slipped overnight. An exchange stablecoin reserves plunged 20%, from $80 billion to $64 billion. That's a clear sign the liquidity boost to risk assets is drying up. Coinbase, which had risen 19% this week, fell 3.8% yesterday. Oil markets are whipsawing on geopolitics. Brent crude dropped 4.8% to $87.74 after Iran signaled it might be open to talks. But the physical market tells a different story. Only 5 commodity vessels passed through the Strait of Hormuz this weekend, compared to the pre-conflict average of 130. The U.S. just blacklisted over 60 entities tied to Iran's shipping and tech sectors under Operation Economic Outcast, and tanker insurance premiums keep rising. So even with today's price drop, geopolitical risks are still very much in play. Australia's inflation test is tonight. The CPI report, forecast at 3.3% year-over-year, could move the Aussie dollar and global rate expectations. A hotter print would reinforce the higher for longer narrative. A cooler number could spark a risk asset rally. The Aussie slipped 0.2% today to 71.58 cents. Zoom is riding the AI momentum. Shares are up 5.2% over the past week as its AI-powered tools gain traction. The company reports earnings after the bell today. Watch for enterprise revenue growth and average revenue per user. If AI upgrades are driving higher per-user revenue, Zoom could stand out in an otherwise struggling tech sector. The IPO market is stirring. Dunkin' Brands and Aura Ring are preparing to go public in the coming months, according to the Wall Street Journal. The IPO market has been mostly dormant this year, but these deals could be a sign of life if tech volatility settles down. And Bank of Montreal is boosting its buyback. The bank announced a $1.5 billion share repurchase, up to 25 million shares, as Canadian banks face high expectations ahead of earnings. BMO stock rose 1.7% in pre-market trading. Now, to Washington. The Treasury is shaping this week's financial conditions with two big moves. First, it's expanding long-term bond buybacks to ease yield pressure by repurchasing older treasuries. With $950 billion in its Treasury General Account, the goal is to improve liquidity without Fed intervention. The 10-year yield is down 2 basis points to 4.74%, and the 30-year yield is at 5.27%. Second, the Treasury escalated sanctions against Iran with Operation Economic Outcast, blacklisting over 60 entities linked to shipping, gold, tech, and digital assets. The aim is to cut off Tehran's access to hard currency, but the immediate effect is more uncertainty in oil markets. Remember, only 5 commodity vessels made it through the Strait of Hormuz this weekend, compared to the usual 130. The Federal Reserve is staying quiet ahead of Jackson Hole. Chair Warsh's speech on Thursday is expected to reaffirm the 2% inflation target and stress that monetary policy work is incomplete. Bonds are already pricing in a slowdown. The 2-to-10-year spread is at 46 basis points, its flattest since 2023, but the Fed isn't showing any signs of wavering. July's FOMC minutes revealed a hawkish tilt, with many participants worried about embedded inflation. Markets are now pricing in a 65% chance of a December rate cut, but the Fed's dot plot still projects a 5.1% median rate for 2024. Labor market data remains the wild card. Initial jobless claims were 206,000 last week, low by historical standards, but trending upward. If claims rise more sharply, the Fed might have to cut rates sooner. For now, though, the message from Jackson Hole will likely be clear: the job isn't done. Now, let's look under the hood. The semiconductor pullback isn't just a sector rotation. It's the first visible crack in AI's CapEx-to-earnings pipeline, and it's tightening financial conditions across tech. Here's how the dominoes are falling. First, physical bottlenecks are hitting hard. Copper supply is still tight. LME spot premiums are at $478 per ton, and inventories are near 200,000 tons. Meanwhile, data center power demand is projected to double by 2030, constraining server deployments. Second, AI CapEx is slowing. Cloud providers, burdened by NVIDIA's 7-9% vendor financing loans, can't monetize the hardware quickly enough. So deployments stall. Third, semiconductor earnings are faltering. Micron's fiscal fourth quarter revenue guidance dropped 8%. AMD and Intel are facing similar slowdowns. Tech's terminal growth rate is being repriced lower. Fourth, tech valuations are resetting. The 10-year U.S. Treasury yield at 4.74% is now tech's discount rate. The sector's implied equity risk premium has widened 30 basis points in just a week. And fifth, financial conditions are tightening. High-yield credit spreads are widening. The OAS is now at 2.7%, up from 2.5% 2 weeks ago, and the VIX climbed to 15.84 today. This isn't a defensive rotation. It's a broad tightening of tech's financial conditions, driven by higher real yields and lower earnings expectations. The critical question now is whether the Fed will respond to these tighter conditions with earlier rate cuts, or if the AI CapEx-to-earnings transmission mechanism is permanently impaired by physical constraints like power shortages, copper supply issues, and export controls. Watch two things closely: NVIDIA's next vendor financing disclosure, expected in 10 days, and the 10-year tips break even. If it drops below 2.2%, that's a signal markets are pricing in a permanent hit to tech's growth trajectory. Now, let's talk about something fundamental: how companies actually make money. Yesterday, we asked you to predict whether Australia's CPI print would come in above or below the 3.3% forecast. We'll find out tonight, and we'll resolve this in tomorrow's edition. But today, let's break down the profit engine, the same one that powers everything from a kid's lemonade stand to Nvidia. Every company operates on the same core formula. First, revenue. That's the income from sales, lemonade, iPhones, AI chips, whatever. Second, costs. These are the expenses to produce the product. For a lemonade stand, that's lemons and sugar. For Nvidia, it's silicon and factories. Third, gross margin. That's revenue minus the direct costs of production. Fourth, operating margin. Gross margin minus indirect costs, like rent, salaries, and marketing. And fifth, net profit. What's left after all expenses, including taxes and debt payments. Here's why the same revenue can yield totally different profits. Let's compare a lemonade stand to a simplified version of Nvidia. The lemonade stand brings in $100 in revenue. Direct costs, lemons and sugar, are $60, leaving a $40 gross margin, or 40%. Indirect costs, rent, signs, maybe a helper, eat up another $30, leaving a $10 operating margin, or 10%. With no debt, net profit is also $10. Now, Nvidia. Same $100 in revenue, but direct costs, chips, packaging, are only $30, leaving a $70 gross margin, or 70%. Indirect costs, R&D, sales, are $20, so the operating margin is $50, or 50%. After $10 in interest expenses from those vendor financing loans, net profit is $40. So what separates Nvidia's $40 profit from the lemonade stand's $10? Three things. One, gross margins. Tech and software firms often enjoy 60 to 80% gross margins, while grocers might see 20%. Nvidia's direct costs are far lower relative to revenue than the lemonade stands. Two, operating leverage. Fixed costs like R&D and sales are spread across billions in revenue at Nvidia, while the lemonade stand's $30 for rent and signs consumes a huge chunk of its $100 in revenue. Scale magnifies profitability. And three, financial structure. Nvidia's $12 billion in vendor financing adds interest expenses. The lemonade stand has no debt. This is how companies generate profits and how the process can break. Today's semiconductor sell-off, Micron's shrinking gross margins, Nvidia's interest burdens, it all stems from cracks in this profit engine. Micron's gross margins are shrinking because memory chip prices are falling faster than costs. Nvidia's operating margins are under pressure from $12 billion in vendor financing interest. And both companies' net profits are getting squeezed as the AI capex to revenue transmission slows. Remember our lesson on stocks? A stock is a claim on future profits. When the profit engine stalls, as it is for semiconductors today, the stock price follows. Now here's what to watch this week. Tonight, we've got Australia's CPI report at 9:30 p.m. Eastern. The forecast is 0.9% month over month. If it comes in above expectations, which way does the 2-year yield move and why? Wednesday brings the U.S. core PCE price index at 8:30 a.m., the Fed's favorite inflation gauge. The forecast is 0.2% month over month. A surprise here could shift the odds for a September rate cut. Also on Wednesday, we get the preliminary GDP revision at 8:30 a.m. The forecast is 1.5% quarter over quarter. A downward revision fuels recession fears. An upside surprise could lift stocks. And then there's Nvidia's earnings after the market closes. This is the $250 billion question. Is AI spending slowing down, or is this just a temporary pause? Guidance will move the entire tech sector. On Thursday at 10 a.m., Fed Chair Warsh speaks at Jackson Hole. Expect him to reaffirm the 2% inflation target and warn that the Fed's work is unfinished. Also on Thursday, we get the preliminary benchmark payrolls revision at 10 a.m. The prior revision was a whopping 911,000 jobs lower. Another big downward revision would signal a weaker labor market. And finally, the Jackson Hole Symposium runs Thursday and Friday. The focus will be on Warsh's tone. Will he acknowledge that financial conditions are tightening, or will he double down on fighting inflation? That's your brief for Tuesday, August 25th. We'll be back tomorrow with the fallout from Australia's CPI and a preview of Nvidia's earnings. Until then, invest wisely.